From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the On3 network. I was going to screw it up, and then I thought, and then I used my brain, and I said, no, you're not going to do it, and I didn't.
Well, I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports
Boo,
Network.
Boo, hiss, hiss.
Boo, Arthur. Yeah. And together, like kind of coming across the aisle.
Wow.
We make the Podcast of Champions.
That's right, baby.
Talking all things Big Ten football. It's full on off-season mode. There was some big sort of breaking news what David alluded to at the top. He left me.
I left him.
But we're doing the POC. Like we were going to kill the POC when we were in the same network, and now we're keeping it going
because we're in different networks.
Basically just for the novelty of it.
It's a delight to figure out exactly where we put this stupid thing. Bruin Report Online has departed the 247 network and has arrived at the On3 network. If this is the first you're hearing of this, well, you're probably not a UCLA fan. But if you are in that like slice of the pie that is a UCLA fan
how big is that slice?
Of our listeners right now, let's see. How many we got right now? We have 19 total people. I would guess 0.3 of a person wasn't aware. And I'm speaking to you now, 0.3 of a person. Right now, $1. Your first 5 months of Bro the new network.
Are you shilling?
I'm shilling, baby. Shilling.
Nice.
We made the move over to On3. We're excited about it. We've gotten a lot of good stuff already up on the site this week, including an exclusive with beautiful Bob Chesney, UCLA's new head football coach that we did on, what was that? What day of the week is it? I think that was Tuesday when we talked to Bob, and then we published it yesterday, Wednesday. So
nice.
Get in there. Check that out.
Nice work. You get some. I saw he did a congratulatory video for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
we had. That was nice.
That was actually. I mean, Tracy did a lot of good work to put that together. But we had Chesney. We had the football, or we had the basketball coach Mick Cronin. We had a bunch of different luminaries. We had ex-basketball coach Ben Howland. A bunch of different players. It was actually really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congrats on the move. If you guys don't know how this stuff works, we are with networks. We have our own sites. I was with Rivals for 12, 13 years, went to Scout, became 247. I've been there 12 or 13 years. So this stuff happens. But we, this show isn't really about, even though we always say 24/7 sports at the top, now we'll just say a little bit differently. But it's just been more about me and Dave talking, sometimes about college football or Big Ten football. But we figured, well, we might as well just keep it going.
Yeah.
I guess someone could tell us we can't do it, but.
Until that day,
yeah,
we're all had to go. The network changes are always interesting because, it's first, as anybody who's been paying attention for many years, it's a revolving industry where, the networks themselves change. They get bought, they get purchased, they get merged, they get transferred.
Yeah, we were at Scout, and they got bought by 24/7.
So and then the way these relationships work is a lot of the sites are owned and operated by individuals who contract with these networks. And, it just so happened, Bro's contract was up with 247, and we had the opportunity to switch over. But, that's kind of the way this works, and that's why it's sometimes, for a lot of the Bro subscribers over the years, that we have transferred networks, but because it's a network getting bought or a network getting merged or something, it hasn't done anything to your subscription. This is one where, for the first time in, 20 years, we've actually had to have people buy new subscriptions. So
yes.
It's a little hair-raising for us, but we've been pretty overwhelmed by the amount of you who want to still jump on with us, so it's been pretty cool.
True Blue, Bruin, 24. Careful, Dave. Ryan might demand calimony from you. Yes, I need some of that fat new network money.
Yeah, some of those fat stacks, baby.
Yes. Drop a bag on me if you want me to keep doing the show, Dave.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Love it. That's great. And yeah, it's It was an interesting, it's always an interesting time because contractually you can't say anything if you're going anywhere. And so I know that was
miserable. You know, it was a miserable, because like, look, I mean,
you got like legal trouble if you say something.
We can't say anything, but like full transparency, it really sucks because people are asking for clarity all week and you just, and
like, you suck. Why don't you tell us what's going on?
You can't do anything. And then people are angry about it. And I'm like, we wish we could say something, but it was not possible. So that's a big part of why we did the dollar for 5 months thing, just to try to make good on that, because you know people had subscriptions renew in January or December, and it, you know, that sucks.
Yeah.
So anyway, join us over there if you are inclined.
Eddie in Orange says, "No free UFC for bro. Another L for those suckers."
Damn. Eddie dropping L's on us.
Eddie.
We're just taking L's left and right.
Eddie's very active on our podcast and stuff.
Hey, but you get a free subscription to The Athletic once you pass through your promo period.
I'm just saying.
I'm shilling. Hey, if we're gonna reverse shill, I'm gonna shill. All right.
I wasn't reverse. Or that was just
Eddie. Eddie. I'm responding to Eddie.
Nice. All right. Well, what is going on in the world of Big Ten football? Not a whole lot, but I don't know if you want it. Should I mention what I did for like? So I told David to prepare for the show, and the what he wrote, the copy. Sometimes he just, you know, I was an engineer. I write copy, whatever. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Dave, you know, who studied this stuff, when his copy pretty much sucks all the time. It's very, you know, it's like all the news from Big Ten football, like no, not mentioning any of what that news is, not knowing what any of that news is. So what did I do?
He went.
Old head. Okay. I have not embraced. I'll just tell you a little bit about me, and this, you can say whatever you want. David, you might do this too. I don't know. I have not embraced the whole AI thing.
I would say I've done the opposite of embrace it.
You've like, okay.
I eschew it as much as I possibly can.
But then there was a few things that came up and someone said, oh, just put that into AI. It was this document and I put it in the AI to like compare it and contrast it. I was like, this is actually kind of cool. And then one of the things we have to do usually, like if we say we put this podcast up, you could put that into AI and get like a summary. And that doesn't always work. There's some stuff, but it gets you like a, if you just only use it, I think it kind of sucks, but you can get some decent stuff from it. Like, oh, and I'm talking to people like, yeah, I've been doing this for 2 years. Sorry, I haven't used it at all. And I, you know, but now every once in a while, I'll just be like, okay. And I wasn't sure what was going on in the Big Ten. And sometimes I would go to the Twitter accounts of people I follow that cover the Big Ten. But I just went into Gemini and said, what's the last, you know, what's the Big Ten, football news from this past week, and I got like a bunch of summary stuff of what's going on in the Big Ten. I was like, this is kind of cool. Like, so yes, I'm a late. I'm not using it a lot, but you know, the people that have like ChatGPT, it's like their friend and they talk to it like it's a, you know, it has like it's like its own person. So you're still like not, you haven't done anything with it. You hate it.
I
terrible.
I think I've got major philosophical problems with it. Like, set aside all the environmentalism stuff, which I get, but I also like it. Look, different things move different people. That doesn't move me. The parts that move me are more just think like two steps down the road with all these AI tools, because okay, so it's what you're using it for is essentially as an aggregator, right?
Yeah.
But what's it aggregating?
Stuff, content other people have created.
Content other people have created that exists on the internet, correct?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Right. So did your eyeballs travel to that content?
It did not. No.
No. It just travels to the aggregator, right? What's happening with Google search, what's happening with all these things that are over leveraging AI is that they're making it so that you can't actually be a content creator in a lot of fields anymore, because you're not getting the clicks, you're not getting any kind of advertising revenue, you're not getting anything from it. And so what's the incentive for publications to continue to publish news, right? Mm-hmm. Because if they're not getting eyeballs, if all it is getting like thrown to Google, I'm not aware of it, but I don't think they're paying any affiliate fees from their AI search to these things that they are sourcing, right? This is stuff that like it's drastically changing the world in which we live, and it's drastically changing all of these different things. And then on top of that, it's often stupid and wrong.
There's a lot, yeah.
And so it's okay. We have taken Google search and we have made it I don't know, 70% more efficient to find what you are looking for while also adding a, 20% markup on being incorrect, and has a shelf life of maybe 3 years before it's wiped out all of the industry from which it's aggregating.
So you're big on AI.
Yeah. Well, specifically the aggregation functions, but also, like, I do think there's probably some value in it as a as an efficiency tool for people who are working on something, like for people who are doing something.
Yeah.
I think there's ways to use it where it may even be an ethical choice. But I think the search functions in particular strike me as very, very, very bad for just humanity generally. And it's also making us dumber. So I'm all for things not making us super dumb. You know, they're just technological advances. They're going to make us dumber, and it's just part of the thing. But this one's going to make us super dumb a lot faster than a lot of other things. And I don't love that either.
Idiocracy will be like,
People have been joking about that for 10 years.
Watering
but like
crops it's, with Gatorade.
Yeah, no, it's got what plants crave. but there's, I don't know. It's just, you know, and then there's like the problems with like art, like, you know, where you're creating AI artwork, where a lot of the time it's sourcing from real artwork to make that. There's no credit, there's no anything. And it's just like, what is the point of art? Like, what are we getting at with art? Like, with video, with all this kind of stuff? Like, is it just, dreck? Are we just trying to produce dreck? Are we trying to produce something where you can see the humanity involved in it? You can see the person behind the creation. You can see, like, there's a why and a how involved with the creation of the thing rather than just the what? I've got a lot of issues.
I didn't
with
really
it.
Know this. I wasn't expecting this. I just was like trying to get, since you didn't do any show notes.
I get it. I get it. You were approaching it from an efficiency standpoint.
Yes. And I really was fairly neutral on it. Like, I didn't really care to use it, didn't know much about using it. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll start using it a little bit now. But now that I know your stance on it, I want to use it more, you know?
I love it.
But like,
no notes.
But like, after practice, USC starts spring practice this week. Like, we'll do like our instant analysis video. So there'll be like a 10-minute video. We shoot, we stand up, and we talk. And then afterwards, like, I got to edit it and upload it.
Yeah, yeah.
While that's going on, I could feed that to AI. Like, hey, can you give me like a summary of what we said? I just said it all. Like, I'm stealing from myself, but I just want something because we need copy. I'm like, you don't like to write, but we need to put copy into whatever, you know, into the YouTube channel, 100%. Onto our 24/7 sports network, or what yours would be, whatever it's called. I forget what it's called, but it's like one of those things. You need some copy from it so you can, it'll extract stuff from there. You're right about it being wrong a lot. I've asked things and it would be like, it could be about a football schedule or something. And it would say, it would like include like the like January 1st game and the next season or whatever, and you're like, no, that's wrong, and it's very confident, so it'll tell you no, like the Rose Bowl was part of the next season. I'm like, no, that's not, oh, okay, and then it realizes it's wrong and it'll fix itself, but it's very confident when it's telling you the first time until you say, hey, no, that's wrong, and then it's like, oh, I got it, and then it fixes it. And I'm like, why couldn't you get this right the first time if you can like fix it that easy? I don't know, but it's just kind of funny.
Yeah. Yep. And bleak, but funny too.
I forgot like the intro stuff, but we're live on YouTube.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I can put your comments up on the screen. Jay Day says, hang on, I have to ask AI what art is. Very good.
Good. Definitely.
And then Angry Gravy, I feel like I'm listening to today's pod of Pablo Torre Finds Out all over again. Oh, is that what they were talking? Did you aggregate from Pablo Torre's rant on AI something?
If anyone out there thinks that I've had time to listen to anyone else's podcast in the last like month and a half, you are sorely mistaken.
You're doing a lot of lurker. Well, let's get the consensus of, I just asked, like I said, and I was using Gemini. I don't pay for any of this stuff, but, so
which one is Gemini?
It's the Google one. And I use that because it would, cause I would put stuff on YouTube and I could just put the YouTube link and it could grab from there. I did it yesterday at like after we put up our instant analysis video or something. And then it grabbed, I gave it the link and it like came back with like the right screenshot and everything. But the description was from the same video we did like 2 years ago. So it was talking about like Caleb Williams and stuff. And I'm like, no, this is wrong. This is the wrong one. And then it fixed it. But I'm like, how did you get it wrong? I don't know. It was just very weird. But so he, Gemini, he or she, it gave us spring football news. Here's a breakdown of the most significant Big Ten football news of this past week. Oh, and they break it up into like four different categories. One, coaching staff overhauls, with several high-profile coaching changes earlier this offseason, including Kyle Whittingham taking over at Michigan and Matt Campbell at Penn State. The trickle-down effect hit the assistant ranks this week. At Wisconsin, head coach Luke Fickell announced several key hires on March 4th. Ari Confessor, formerly of the Jaguars, is the new wide receivers coach, and veteran Bob Ligashevsky takes over as special teams coordinator.
Can I just pause for a second?
Yeah.
Have we reached the point in the show where you are simply reading what AI We're talking about AI.
I wanted to read this and then say, what do you guys think? It's not like, that's what I was kind of doing.
Please continue.
Yeah. Illinois, you know what Brett Bielema did, David?
What did he do, Ryan?
Mike New is the passing game coordinator, and elevated former Illini quarterback Arthur Sitowski to quarterback's coach. So that's like the first entry. Like, it's kind of a good little summary, like, of like, I just asked what's going on. Like, would you have known that stuff?
I would not have.
It went through.
Is it anything we ever would have mentioned on this show?
What are we mentioning? You wrote freaking nothing in the thing. So I had to come up with something. Spring ball does kick off this week.
Your favorite thing?
It's my favorite. I can't really watch Pac-12 Network anymore, but wait, is that going to be a thing again?
Like Pac-12 Network?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
They just like, it's like gone. Did you know Nebraska has been practicing since late February? So they started off. And now Purdue and USC began on Tuesday. So got Nebraska going. Purdue and USC just started. And Ohio State, they're going to open March 10th. So that's cool.
Okay.
They have
late February is really early for a Midwestern school, isn't it?
I would think so. Maybe they do some inside stuff.
They must. They must. That's got to be indoor facility stuff. But like, I don't know. That seems really early. I mean, UCLA is going to do what it traditionally does and start right after spring break on, I think, April 2nd.
Yeah. And then Oregon starts March 12th. So USC typically
USC's always been March, right?
They're the late March usually. Yeah. And with the new defensive coordinator with Gary Patterson coming in, and they brought in, they have 32 incoming freshmen that are early enrollees, like 32 new faces. So I was out there the last 2 days, a lot more depth than they've had. Like a lot of times they wouldn't want to do a spring game because they didn't only have like seven offensive linemen. Now they got plenty of dudes because all the young guys are fine. They're, you know, playing. I think they have like six guys that are out for spring, but they're still not doing a spring game. But anyway, they're starting early. I guess you get some extra workouts afterwards or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, they're starting a little early. I don't mind mixing it up. Like, I can't remember, David, from the Pete Carroll days, it was like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, spring ball. Like, either five straight weeks or six with a spring break in the middle. Like, it's never changed. And as far as I can remember. So it's nice. And they're doing like two in a row. They would do like Tuesday, Wednesday. And I think that was a Gary Patterson thing. He wants you to practice like 2 days in a row. And then they do Friday, Saturday. So
interesting.
It'll be shorter. So a little different. But yeah, so there's some spring and starting.
Yeah, I don't think UCLA's ever really deviated. I mean, they might have. I could be wrong. But like, they do Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for the most part. And then I think they sneak in one Friday night practice just to, I think, get recruits out there and make it exciting.
Yeah.
But no, it's your favorite time of the year. I think you got to let the people know.
In the Pac-12 days, when they would broadcast all the spring games, and I would, almost as a joke, I would try to watch them all. And then you, like, wouldn't even watch the UCLA one, and I'd be like, hey, man, what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd watch the UCLA one, but I would talk spring ball and some of the news, and we would, like, call the different publishers or email the different publishers to get, hey, what's going on this spring? And his eyes would glaze over, and I'd be like, did you know the transfer? He looks really good.
Your spring game recaps were the stuff of legend.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It was actually, like, I was talking actual college football. It was just a little more manageable with the Pac-12. Like, now I can't do 18 spring games, and half the teams don't have spring games anymore.
I think you should challenge yourself. No. I think you should go for it.
There's that USC didn't have a freaking spring game. And I told this to Connor. Not Connor. Not to Connor. R.I.P. I had RJ on the show yesterday. So you know, the side note of this, Connor Moore said, if you guys followed him on my site, he took over the UCLA site at 24/7. No, he's with a couple other people, but he's working there now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking with RJ Abadia, who we were talking about this. I'm like, you know, I get it. Like, if you don't want to do a spring game because like numbers were down, like I've never seen this much depth in spring football for USC. They've never brought in like 32 guys, freshmen. You got plenty of dudes to do a spring game. You got all these young guys. Like, so I don't know why, like last year, maybe, but this year I'm going to make a push, Dave. I'm going to make some calls. I'm like, do a freaking spring game. You got plenty of guys. Do a spring game.
A real game? Like with a, you know, wow. Screw,
you know,
look
why
you.
Not?
Look at you.
Now, I think it'll help them obviously do practicing and stuff. What's the...
How open are USC's practices this year?
It wasn't terrible. Like, you can watch at the beginning. It's like you get in there and they're stretching. But then there's individual drills. We were in there for probably like 25 minutes or so. It might even be a little longer. I don't know. And we can film and take pictures and stuff of like the offense going through stuff. There's some special teams drills in the offense. And then we move over to the defensive side. And they're like, avert your gaze to the offense at this point, but just focus on the defense. And we're like right in front of the linebackers and safeties and corners. The linemen are a little bit further away. But I got a ton of good photos and stuff from the first 2 days. So it's not terrible. Then we leave and we come back. We had like four players each day, and we had Lincoln Riley one day. So it wasn't bad. I talked to Ben Bolch, who's now covering both, I guess, schools. And
he's being worked to the bone.
And he's like in... I think he just went to wherever they do the women's basketball tournament.
He's covering women's basketball. He's covering men's basketball. He's covering football. He's covering basically everything, I think, until the Cal Post hires
Ben,
beat
is this
writers.
A promotion if you're going to cover all this crap? Like, I don't know, Ben. But he was asking, like, some of the writers about, like, what is that, USC, UCLA? And, I, you know, there was – I think it was a little more open what he was seeing at USC. But I don't know. Are things changing with UCLA? Is Bob Chesney going to open things up a little bit, or what do you think?
So there's no final answer at this point. I think they're still kind of working through what they can and cannot do. I think the reality is I would say before last year, UCLA always had pretty much completely open springs. Deshaun Foster closed most of spring last year.
Yeah.
But before that, springs were mostly open. Are we going back to that? I don't know. But I do think it'll be more than what was for Deshaun, at least from a media standpoint. I don't know about public. I don't know about all that other stuff yet. I think that's still being worked out. Because, I mean, there is a reality. And yes, I can grandstand against it forever, as I always do on this show, against the secrecy of coaches. But the reality is that it is becoming much more secretive across the board everywhere. And I don't think UCLA is immune to it. So we'll see. We'll see what gets announced over the next few weeks. It's still TBD.
Yeah. All right. A couple other things. Now, this is where maybe you're getting some weird stuff here. It says roster and portal updates. As the winter transfer window impacts settle, recent reports have highlighted how the league's heavy hitters are spending. The big spenders... New data suggests Indiana, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin were the top five NIL spenders in the portal this cycle. Now, some of these entries have like a little link that shows like your sources, and this one does not. So like, okay, well, where are you getting this from? There's probably a story on that, right? And it would have been nice if they linked to it. At least you could get to it. So there's one of your issues. And then this, I don't know if it makes sense. Indiana's new look with Heisman winner Fernando Mendoza heading to the NFL. New transfer, Josh Hoover, the quarterback from TCU. He spent the week in, quote, leadership mode as they attempt to defend their historic 16-0 title run. Like, nothing about what the hell the leadership mode is. I guess I could follow up, like, what is leadership mode? And it would, like, and you could ask for links and stuff, too. You can follow up, which is kind of cool. And then Ryan Field. So for Northwestern, there was clarity this week. The initial game is the inaugural game will be against Penn State. So that'll be the grand opening for the new Ryan Field. So that cool little temporary one on the water, they won't have that anymore. And then some mention about Pac-12 expansion. Playoff expansion talk. There's a lot of stuff going on with that. Secret meetings, presidential things. Like, there's a lot of weird, like, I like following some of that newsy stuff, you know, of like, oh, what's this going to mean for the sport? And I'm over it. Like, the casual fan cannot care that there's, you know, these sports entities trying to, like, break, you know, collect everybody's TV rights. And there's so many weird things going on with that. Like, I try to pay attention to that stuff, but man, David, I'm just like, I just can't. Just tell me when it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. I know my eyes glaze over a little bit. Yeah. It's just the change in nature of the thing.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, here's a comment. We have a couple comments or questions in the chat. If you have questions in the chat, put them in there. But I know you, we have a couple emails and you solicited some on Twitter as well. But Angry Gravy, how can we make it so Pauly is a host site for the NCAA tournament? Can we get UCLA fans to sabotage every single other arena in the country?
I think that's pretty much what it would require.
Why?
To make it a host site for which sport? For men's basketball?
I didn't say, but no. Either one. Because for women's, you host, right?
Yeah, like, for women's, yeah, absolutely. But it could be a host site.
It couldn't be?
No, it could.
But, no, but for men's, for men.
For men's size.
It has to be, they have to be bigger ones.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they're getting even into the opening round games being pretty big arenas.
Okay. Sorry, Angry Gravy. Anything else you wanted to chat about? We could take a little break and come back and do questions or...
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get into some questions because we did solicit a bunch. So let's take a second.
And all right.
Take a break.
Back in a minute, everybody. All righty, we're back here on the Podcast of Champions, a show brought to you by 24/7 Sports. Oh, wait. And on three? I don't know. I don't know how this works. This is really probably the first time this has been done, I'm guessing.
I don't think so.
You think there's been like...
I think there's been others.
They've crossed the streams?
They have.
I've learned at Ghostbusters, you're not supposed to cross the streams.
So true.
What a great movie that is, by the way.
You learn it also as a young boy, you know, peeing in like...
don't cross the
streams. Yeah, don't cross the streams because then you might pee on your friend's shoes.
Just a lot. Yeah, there's a lot yeah. of... Did you like Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Yeah, yeah. Where do these stairs go?
But then they cross the streams.
They do, and it works.
It works great.
Where do these stairs go? They go up. Like, oh, good, thanks. it's so good. Sigourney Weaver's great, obviously.
Always great. Always the best.
We got Mike in the chat. Unfortunately, emojis don't come up, but go Ducks. Okay, Mike, go Ducks. Thanks for being.
Go Ducks.
In the chat there. Should we do the emails first and then we sure. can get to the...
Sure. Where do we start? We start with the text message?
I think the text message...
From 707?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, I got it. Okay. I got it. Don't know when your listener with the four-year-old is making their trip to LA, but if the kid is a car kid, no city has a better car museum than LA. Took my six-year-old to the Zimmerman Automotive Museum near the airport years back, and he was wrapped for like 2 hours, which translates to probably 30 minutes for a four-year-old. The jewel of this list is the Peterson Automotive Museum, but that's a good 30-minute drive and favorable traffic. I throw the tar pits on there, but I haven't been there since 1978, when a kid could trip over the two-foot fencing and go the way of the La Brea woman.
Wow. Nice. The Zimmerman... Is it the Peterson? The Peterson is the one.
The Peterson is the one that's downtown or by La Brea.
Like the Miracle Mile. Yeah, so yeah. I took my mom there last time she was here, and it was a lot of fun. There's a bunch of old cars.
Yeah, it's super cool.
And I love the La Brea tar pits. Like, I don't know if we talked about this before, but like, I don't know. I'm not like a huge museum guy. I like go check it out, this stuff. When you look at like dinosaurs or whatever, like you're talking millions of years old, right? Like the tar pits are like in the tens of thousands, like that, and that was like LA. Like this was literally here. They were digging to, you know, make a new parking structure, and they'd come across all these ice age fossils, and they had to like bring them out, and it's taking them years and years just to go through these things. It's crazy, like the amount of fossils that you would find, and you're like literally on Wilshire Boulevard. Like this is where the highest concentration of like ice age fossils exist, like in the world. How insane is that? You're like next to like Lacama and stuff. So I don't know. I've geek out.
You go Lacama?
Lacama.
I go LACMA.
LACMA?
You go LACMA.
I did LACMA, but we could do LACMA. I don't know, whatever you feel like.
Okay, fair enough. We have an important update from Jay Day in the chat. Zimmerman is closed to the public.
Oh, well, that's why I didn't go there, I guess.
Yeah, damn.
Our text messenger, I guess, has some special passes. But Peterson's cool.
Peterson's super
and
cool.
And I think, you know, you've been to the Tar Pits, right? Have you taken your kids there? Do they like it?
I have not taken them to the Tar Pits. They went, I want to say, for a field trip. Or one of them did.
They did? Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
I probably should do that with my kids.
I find it cool.
But I do. I've got a real lack of museum travels with my children.
Okay.
I should probably do that. I don't particularly like museums, and so I haven't done it, but I should probably do it.
All right. I don't know what this means. Angry gravy. I haven't met any gravy that's been angry, but this is like when Hannah Montana was on the Suite Life of Zach and Cody.
Damn.
I don't know what that is.
Either of those shows?
I guess. I don't know anything about what that sentence says. I know who Hannah Montana is.
Well, like, so the idea is that those are a competitor. Those are competitor networks, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So he's making that. I will say,
Miley Cyrus went on the Suite Life of Zach and Cody.
Yes, my youngest daughter, she's 9. She has discovered a lot of early 2000s, mid first decade of 2000s programming. So we've had to watch a kind of stupid amount of Hannah Montana and something I believe is called Lizzie McGuire. That was Hilary Duff.
Hilary Duff, yes. She did like a concert recently and sung those songs and people go crazy. I don't know anything about it.
Real tough situation for me. Real tough. I wish we could go back to Disney princesses.
So now they're getting older and they're like...
It's a tough watch.
Like tween stuff.
Tough watch. Tough watch.
Like more tween.
So I was like, you know what? We got to find something better. So what I did is I got them to watch Anne with an E, which is Anne of Green Gables. It's like the modern version of that.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're doing that now.
Okay.
It's a lot better.
Nice.
It's a lot better.
I'm still watching Dexter.
If you want something to watch with, like, say, your 10 to 12-year-old, watch Anne with an E.
Or Dexter.
Yeah, or watch Dexter. Dexter's good, too.
I think I finished 3 seasons. But you told me, like, after, like, 4 or 5, it gets
brutally bad.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I'll do 4 and then see what happens.
Yeah. Once you hit the end of whatever season that is, tell me what happened, and I'll tell you that's the end of what you should be watching.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
To you.
Perfect. This was a Boat Wagon emailed us. It says, really enjoy the pod. Great work. I also get a lot of joy from following the Golden Gophers. Hasn't Minnesota been through enough without having our team regularly slighted on the POC? Maybe throw us a little love now and then from Boat Wagon and we get the mascot. It's a really pretty picture.
A really pretty picture?
It's a really pretty picture.
It's a mascot.
Happy, you know, it's just like happy mascot picture. And I asked what the slight was because I'll respond on this sometimes. David obviously would never do that. And, you know, and I said, we'll share whatever cool stat or fact you have. We'll read it. So Boat Wagon came back and says, I understand why you're not enjoying Big Ten football. You don't know all the backstories of each team. Like the delusional nature of Husker fans. I don't know the inside stories of the Pac-12 either, but this is what the TV executives have done to our sport. So let me help you with Minnesota. First, PJ should have been a viable choice for a Survivor winner. He's smart and scrappy. Do you remember we talked about that? Last week. Second, there's not a chance in hell, sorry, Griffin, that PJ is on the hot seat in 2026. I think you put him there. He has a 66-44 record at Minnesota. The only teams that have won more Big Ten games than PJ since 2017 are Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Iowa. He is the 4th winningest coach in program history. He's 4-1 over the last 5 years against Wisconsin, our biggest rival. He has a 7-0 bowl record. I think I mentioned that, by the way. We end every season with a win. And he has 3 seasons with at least 9 wins, including an 11-2 finish in 2019. Oh, and he has a $25 million buyout. He'll be boat rowing in Minnesota for the foreseeable future. boat
Fair
wagon.
Enough.
Thanks, boat wagon, for the... See, I asked, like, hey, send me some cool facts. Said,
and we got some cool facts. Hey, and cool facts. The cool thing about those cool facts, not written by AI.
No. No. Well, we don't know. Boat wagon could be AI.
Look, boat wagon could be AI. That would be a good name for an AI, actually.
But do you use Grok? Do you use Gemini? Do you use ChatGPT?
If we develop an wagon. AI tool here at the Podcast of Champions, it will be called Boat Wagon. That is my solemn promise to all of you.
I love it. That's awesome. All right, so we look at the...
We can look at Twitter questions.
Yeah, where are
Twitter.
They?
Okay, I will start. Mark, a key to winning is often just doing common sense things like, quote, play a Daimara 20 minutes a game for UCLA men's basketball, or, quote, do more QB runs if your QB is fast. Why is this rare with coaches? Is it hubris, or are there things behind the scenes we fans can't account for from the couch? So, first, I'll start with the final question. Yeah, there absolutely are. Any job, like think about any job in the world that you haven't done before, or think about your job. How many people like would know how to do what you do? Like, how many people know the nuance of what it is that you do all day, or would they just be like, "Oh, that guy's not doing what I want him to do"? And like, think about if your job was part of a spectator sport,
yes.
Right? Like if me publishing this stupid website and recording this podcast is part of a spectator sport, and it kind of is because we have posters who will tell us why we are not doing our job correctly. But like, you know, you don't know all of it, and that's whatever. I mean, we don't have we've got great jobs. It's awesome. It's awesome. What we do is fantastic. And coaches, I think, in many ways have great jobs and what they do is fantastic. But there is stuff that goes into it that is not necessarily what you think. But at the same time, there are things that are just naturally human. And when you're doing anything in competition, you can overthink things. And what happens, I think, a lot with these guys is they go in with a plan based on their assumptions about what the other team might do. And then the other team might not have a good coach and they might not do that thing and they might not ever adjust. And I think what you'll find is a lot of the best coaches in the history of the game will just keep doing the same thing until you stop it. And some of the more mediocre coaches will try to do a lot of different things because they're trying to, you know, build based on the plan that they had going in, but they didn't adapt to the reality that the other side is not doing a good job of stopping the one thing that they're doing. So there's a lot of human stuff going on that I think anybody can empathize with and understand. So it's a little bit of everything above, all of the above.
I think there's definitely egos involved sometimes. And sometimes, just like in anything, like someone's going to try to show you how smart they are. It makes sense like, oh,
Chip Kelly,
you're the best at this. And that team is terrible at stopping that. We're going to do something else, though, because I'm going to show you how smart I am. We're going to, you know, and I mean, USC went to Washington 2024, and Washington had the number one pass defense in the country. And we all said before the game, like, USC needs to run the ball. They were running the ball well. They need to run the ball. And what did Miller Moss threw 30 times? They ran 8 or something. It was like some crazy, and they were behind. And it's just like, you felt like you, I literally felt like, David, like that was, everyone thinks we're going to run the ball, so we're not going to, even though that's what you should do. And I get it. Sometimes you don't want to do what everyone thinks, but that's what you should have done.
And this is where, like, it could be ego. And I think in some situations it obviously is. I think with Lincoln Riley and Chip Kelly, that's the obvious answer based on what we know of those two people. But also, there is that other element, which is, well, I'm assuming they're good coaches over there, so they understand that they don't do this well and that we do it well. So they're going to overemphasize that this week. So we're going to have an answer to that. But sometimes it's as simple as they can't do this.
Yeah.
They've tried. They can't do it. We can do this. So let's just do that.
Yeah.
You know, I always go back to it because it's such a, it just rings in my memory. But Jim Harbaugh's Stanford teams were really good about this. There was a game against UCLA they had where I think it was Toby Gerhardt at the time, where it was just the exact same power run for basically an entire half against UCLA that they couldn't stop. And so what are they going to do? Stop running it? No, we're just going to keep doing it. And they basically said after the game, he was like, well, we ran basically the same run the entire second half or the entire first half or whatever it was. And I think, you know,
that's what separates. And I think there's also a little bit of, you got to have a little bit of a little bit of sociopath to you to do it too. It's like, oh no, we are going to call the exact same play over and over and over again. Like, there will be no sympathy. There will be no quarter. We are going to do the exact same thing. I don't care if we don't get anyone else involved except for these three offensive linemen and this running back. We are calling the exact same thing until they stop it.
Yeah. There was a Rose Bowl, I think USC Pete Carroll era against Michigan. And I think one half, they didn't even run the ball once. They just threw it all over them. And it was just like, yeah, we're just going to throw it every time. And I went, like, I've been to a couple of Laker games this year against the Spurs, and like the first time they played, Victor Wembanyama got like kind of shut down. The second time they played, he made he took every shot, he did everything, and like dominated. And you could just see, like, we're just throwing the 7'5" freak at you, and any like threes, posting up, whatever. And it's just like, they're like, go ahead and try to stop him. And it was great. So it's funny to see, you know, games play out like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's one from Hardcore Husky. What is the outside perception of Washington coach Jed Fish? Some of us are concerned about his insistence on calling plays, even though he's mediocre at it. The sad sack way he handled the Damond Williams portal circus, and his wandering eye for job openings.
I think it was a really good hire. I think it was, especially coming off the, you know, Kalen DeBoer fiasco, I think it was a really, really good hire. I think he's a very good recruiter. I think he's a grinder who works hard, which is what you want. I do think he's what's the word? Stupid? Maybe it's stupid. I don't think he's very good in game.
David from On Three saying that.
I don't think he's very good in game. I think that's
pianos falling.
Yeah, pianos keep falling on his head. So I think that's part of his issue. I think as a play caller, he's certainly had moments where he's been good in the past. I think with UCLA as the offensive coordinator in 2017, he was good. I think it might be, if you're following it very closely at Washington, maybe it's. I mean, it's now 8 years later. Maybe the game is evolving and he's not quite evolving along with it, which you can find oftentimes with head coaches who are play callers because they have a lot on their plate. And so following along with all of the trends or picking up on like how different defenses are adjusting to the way you run an offense, I think it can be difficult over time. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe he should delegate more. I'm not close enough to it to know, but I do think he has a tendency with macro decision making to be a little dense. I want to say he's still not a math guy. I'd have to check that with one of my sources about whether he is using the analytics tools that are available to him. I know Lincoln Riley became a math guy this past year, but I don't know if Jed is yet. And then I think with personnel stuff, he's always been weird. He's always had weird things. I would say his handling of Jaden Delora at Arizona was actively bad. Situation with Damond Williams. I think Washington fans would have fully supported getting rid of him at that point. And I think it would have been one of those like fan base rally things where it would have rallied everybody. And instead they kind of took him back in a weird little sheepish way, which, yeah, makes your team better, but also, you know, people are going to be cheesed off with Damond now for maybe the entirety of the rest of his career. I don't know. So, yeah, just some weird stuff. Weird stuff with Jed. And then on top of that, he has a reputation. And this is the one where, like, yes, it's earned to an extent, but, like, he could also stay at Washington for many years.
I don't know. Yeah.
He moved around a lot before Arizona because he was an assistant coach, and assistant coaches move around a lot. He's had two head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
And one of them was Arizona, which is not a place you stay for very long if you're any good. Arizona fans.
Yeah. A few weeks back, you like taking shots at Arizona whenever you can. A few weeks back, he was on, I think he was on with Andy and Ari on your network. And, you know, they talked about the Big Ten having the contracts that helped keep the players. And he sort of, he didn't like downplay it, but he was like, yeah, that helped. But really was trying to emphasize that once we, you know, explained to Damond what was going on, and just, I didn't really buy that. I'm like, look, he was going to leave, but it was going to cost too much money, so he stayed, and now it's like kind of a mess. But he was asked about the play calling and stuff too, and you know, it's one of those things like that's what you're good at, you like to do that. So he thinks he's really good at it. But no, I think the perception's pretty good, and like you know, they have a chance to make some big strides, I think, this year. They've, you know, so yeah, we'll see how they perform this year, but yeah, I think they're going to do pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they will. I think he's, I would say just still on balance, just like a little grace note, I think he's a good coach. Like, I think if you're like, you know, he can succeed there. It's just, it's a different deal from what Kalen DeBoer was. And I think for Jed Fish and his like modern incarnation, a lot of it is based off of talent acquisition, recruiting, like that sort of stuff. Like, he's got to have a really good team. But I think he's good. I think there's just some flaws, and he can correct those if his ego will allow it. Hire a really good offensive coordinator and outsource your avant-garde decision-making in games.
Yeah. Who do you want to do next?
Let's go to Corbin Post.
All right.
Which Big Ten program do you think has the biggest dip from midseason energy to offseason bleh?
Biggest dip,
like in general, or this coming season, or this past season?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Big Ten. That's a weird one. Sorry.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one, Corbin. Sorry. How about this?
And my brain's not working very well.
Tiago Splitter era. When does football season start? So this is actually a great question because it starts the actual games in September, or actually late August. But I'm of the opinion that football season begins in earnest at media days.
Okay, like late July.
I don't consider spring part of football season.
Yeah.
It's too much of a layoff. I consider it an extension of the previous season.
You're a hater.
I consider it an extension of the previous season. I would say there is actually, the off season is actually between May 1st and when media days are.
Okay.
I think everything around that is one season. I think it follows along the school year. Now, they've tried to, you know, make things weird by having a transfer portal and having all these early enrollees, and I get it. But it's still spring ball, and it's still like, are you even really fully installing your scheme? I don't know. I mean, come on. Not really. And you're not game planning. This is just workouts where you're trying to, like, figure out a few passing concepts. Come on.
Well, if you've hired new coaches, then there's a lot of install and everything.
Yeah, but, no, I mean, for sure.
Like for UCLA.
Oh, there's going to be a ton. There's going to be a ton. I'm just talking about like the general like run of, you know, play in spring. It's not. It's
Dave is a spring hater.
It's a month of workouts and it's nice and it's a
Before
great.
Before you consider joining on 30, just realize David hates spring football.
I'm going to love right the now. Crap out of spring football this year. It's going to be insane.
Speaking of love for UCLA, Dylan Albuquerque wants to know, does the hiring of Kenny Chesney mean David Woods will return to UCLA football games in person? Excuse my ignorance. Are they still playing at the Rose Bowl this year or not? I know David hates the Rose Bowl.
I'm going to take those in reverse order.
Okay.
I don't hate the Rose Bowl. Okay. I don't love going to the Rose Bowl. Two, are they still playing at the Rose Bowl this year or not? Yes, they are playing at the Rose Bowl this year. That was official. And then finally, can we get the breaking news thing?
Breaking news?
Yep. I would like everyone to know that this season I went to two UCLA basketball home basketball games.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
I'm just saying. So, yes.
Up until this year, I've been to Pauley Pavilion. More recently than you, right?
Again, it's a lot easier to do what I do about the games from home because I don't need to stand up on a frigging camera like Ryan. He loves doing that. So for football, my solemn promise to you is that I will attend at least two home football games this season.
As a media person?
As a member of the media.
Wow.
Yep.
Have I been to a USC UCLA sporting event as a member of the media that you were at?
Yeah, if you go back to 2015, for sure.
Okay, so back then you would go.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was at...
I would see Tracy, but I wouldn't see you.
I was at the Coliseum for 50 to nothing.
Okay.
I went to the Coliseum every year from 2011 through 2015 for the game.
Okay.
So 2011, 2013, and 2015. No, I went to everything up through 2015, and then I moved, and then when I came back, I developed a habit of doing all my recaps from home, and I had taken on, so before, I didn't write the recaps, Tracy did.
Okay.
And then when I moved away for a while, I took over the recaps, and it's just far, far easier to do those from home.
Because you use AI, that's why.
Because I use AI. Oh, no, okay. But like you can rewind. You can watch a thing again. Yes. And frankly, the TV angle is simply just a lot better than what you get, especially at the Rose Bowl where you are kind of off center.
Yeah, and, yeah. We're in the,
and you can't hear anything because it's like a completely soundproof chamber. Yeah. And they don't give you any information about what's going on during the game.
It's not the best experience.
No.
Hold on.
Ooh.
Super chat. El Gordo Flacco. Thanks for the Thursday show, gentlemen. Well, thank you, El Gordo. That's really nice.
Thank you, El Gordo Flacco. I have a logistical question I have to answer here. Do you see that one from Dan?
From Dan. I'll pull it up.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money, Dan, but we didn't cancel any subscriptions on 247. We can't do that. That's not a thing that we could do. You have to get a new subscription if you want to follow us to On3. And if you want to cancel your 247 subscription, again, I'm not telling you what to do with your money. You have to do it. That's not something we can do.
Yeah. So you're subscribed to the network and Bro left the network. So you have to subscribe to.
Yeah. It's basically Visa. Like, it's like if you had a subscription to NBC and a show you really like on NBC, well, they're going to be on CBS now.
Yeah.
And now you got to subscribe to CBS. Well, your NBC subscription still exists because, in theory, you have access to the people who took over the UCLA site, but also the 247 network. Like, yeah. That's what your subscription was to. So not telling you what to do with your money, but yes, if you wanted to cancel it, you have to do that.
Yeah. You still want to stay at NBC, watch Seinfeld or whatever's on there? Go ahead. Angry Gravy. UCLA went 17-1 at home this year and 1-1 when Dave attended.
It's so true, dude. That is, by the way, that is so crazy that you know that, but it is so true. Yeah. I attended this brutal overtime loss. It was so bad.
Good stuff there. I don't know whose turn it is, but we have another one from Mark. The conferences are fully nonsensical now. Cal and Stanford are in the ACC. The Big 12 has 16 teams. The Big 10 has 18, et cetera. What's your over-under on a timeline for a 64 to 80 team program super league with leadership that would make geographical sense? Will it ever happen?
I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to get somewhere. I don't know if the general move right now is more of a shift to getting congressional and executive presidential level changes to the structure to make everything make more sense, or if it's going to be consolidation from essentially private organizations, which is what a super league would be. If I had to guess right now, I actually think it's going to be more national regulation and legislation, which depending on who's involved and depending on how it's written, it could protect more of the smaller schools than a super league would. I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's very a weird situation because it seems like very recently more and more national voices have gotten interested and are proposing to like discuss this stuff. I mean, I think there's going to be like a big round table with a bunch of college voices with Donald Trump and some other people in, you know, national leadership. So I don't know. I think it's 2 years ago, I would have said Super League is 100% happening and it's going to be run by some, collective Big Ten SEC person. or organization or whatever, and it would be something new outside of the NCAA. But I don't know. Maybe they figure out a way to give the NCAA back some teeth or call it something new and then have some sort of collective bargaining and some sort of employment. The only way any of that happens is through legislation and national stuff, and it seems like at least there's some interest there.
Yeah, the latest one is that, what's this? It's like some Smack Sports, or not Smack, it's something like that. But I think the Cody Campbell from Texas Tech's involved, and they basically want to, like, instead of having, like, the Big Ten has a TV contract and the SEC, they want to, like, pull it all together. The Big Ten and the SEC don't want to do this, but it would actually make more money for those schools, and that would be something where you sort of, like, you need to take power away from the little fiefdoms that are there. Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti and those guys, like, they have a lot of power. They don't want to give that up. But we need something that's kind of governing over everything. TV contracts are weird. I don't think this could happen until like the 2030s, but like then the TV contracts start coming up. There's at least some options to do things like that, but it's pretty messy and dirty. And so many things have to come together for Super League, which I think is hard to do. I think you can do things with each league, but trying to put something all together, it just seems like getting those streams, everything to align, it would be pretty difficult. So I don't know, but I don't think it could happen until like 2030s when the at least these next TV contracts come up.
Yeah. All right. What's next? We've got Lizard King. Why hasn't it worked out the way most thought for USC when they hired Lincoln Riley? Will this finally be the year they make the playoffs?
David says no way. I mean, they have a chance, but they're whatever. I think he...
It's a tough schedule.
It's a tough schedule. They don't have Notre Dame, though. But he was, you know, put into a great situation that he helped with Bob Stoops at Oklahoma and did an amazing job there. But it was a program that was running well. And there's a difference between taking over a well-run machine and building your own. And sometimes you have, you know, difficulties doing things. They had a great first year and then a couple bad years, and last year was okay. Yeah, so I think it's just not come to fruition. But it's a different beast, you know. Like, you could be the best high school player, and sometimes you go to college and it's just like everything's tougher. And you could be like a pretty good high school player, and you get to the next level and you're like excelling. It's hard to go from, hey, I've this awesome program, I took it over and we crushed it and we went to the playoffs every year and won the league and won Heisman's and all this stuff, and then, okay, take over a team that's 4-8 and then make them good. Not just for a year, but like make it a good program that's churning out players and going to be good year after year. And he hasn't found that magic yet.
Yeah. I mean, I would say if I was being fair, what you just said, I think, is the real nail on the head. It is, you joked about it, but like, and it's, I feel kind of sad that this is happening because it's not nearly as bad, but it is kind of similar to what the Chip Kelly situation at UCLA, where he inherited a thing at Oregon that ran itself, essentially, and he didn't have to do the program building that comes with taking over something that is maybe a little broken. UCLA was very broken when Chip Kelly took over, and he didn't have if I'm being fair, he didn't have the tools or the capacity to fix it and probably had too big of an ego to understand that. Lincoln Riley, I think, has some of the same ego problems.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he inherited as broken a mess. So you saw some immediate success, especially that first year. I don't think it was in great shape, but I don't want to say it was as broken a mess as UCLA was.
They were 4-8, but yeah.
It was 1 year. Like, yeah. UCLA had been in decline for a couple of years under Jim Mora. And so it just wasn't as, and USC has always had more energy behind its football program. And so the prospect of an easy turnaround is always there. Lincoln Riley is just, you know, it's just not come together for him. And I think a big part of it is like, he's not a program builder, or he wasn't. He's had to develop, you know, the skills to do that on the fly. And it's when you've reached the pinnacle of your profession, when you've reached the peak of it, and I think he's, if not there, he's close to it coming out of Oklahoma, it's hard to decide that you still have things you need to learn. Yeah. It's hard to decide that you still don't know everything. And again, the best people in any industry, the best people at doing some things are always doing that. It's the old trope about being a lifelong learner and trying to learn and grow. But egos get involved with everybody, and a big thing in life is learning to control your ego and your own arrogance and your own, you know, the voice in your head that tells you you're great. And, you know, I think some of these guys struggle with that.
Another Lizard King one. What are your thoughts on the sponsorship patches on jerseys with that? How far away are we from football teams being completely detached from the university?
I don't think they're ever going to be completely detached from the university. But sponsorship patches, I think it's obvious and a good way of actually doing the, like, quote-unquote NIL stuff in a way that I think actually makes palatable sense to people.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I don't like, neither of us are big soccer fans, but like, I don't know much about European soccer, but I want to see like the team name, not the sponsor. You know, I want to see like Qatar Airlines or whatever.
Yeah, it's not sponsorship patches. It's a sponsored jersey with like a team patch somewhere on
there. And I'm like, I don't know who you are, but the diehard fans know who is sponsored by that thing, but I don't know. Like, so yeah, I'd rather, I still think it
you
should
mean on
be
their kits?
On their kits, yes.
Yeah.
They should have the team
when they're out on the pitch
pretty prominently on the most prominent thing on your jersey should not be a sponsorship.
Well, they don't have sponsorship stuff on their boots.
It's funny, like, how different, like, part of the reason why we've done this show for 10 years or whatever is then we sort of do realize, like, we have a lot of, there's a lot of differences between David, I mean, covering different schools and stuff, but then, like, so much other shit that we're, like, aligned on. Like, oh, yeah, soccer sucks, you know, whatever. Oh, Vegas, fucking awesome. You know, sorry, Griffin. Yeah.
It's so good.
There's just things we got. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. Yet another Duck fan. We got to probably get out of here in a couple minutes.
Yeah, okay.
But, yet another Duck fan. If you got to swap out any two Big Ten teams for any two other teams in the country, who are you swapping? I've got an easy answer here.
Okay.
I've got an easy answer for two to swap in.
All right. Who do you
Stanford
want?
Stanford and Cal.
Okay. Yeah, I would like that. Who do you want to kick out? You want to do like Rutgers, Maryland?
Probably Rutgers, Maryland, right?
You're just like the most.
Just send them into the ACC where they belong.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good trade.
Yeah.
I think that
it's easy.
Sense. Sorry, Rutgers and Maryland's fan. But
like, this is obvious. You do that, and I think a lot of the geographical concerns that I know the men's basketball programs on the West Coast have would not go away entirely, but if you could add a Bay Area road trip and replace, you know, one of those Big Ten roadies, I think that would be huge.
Yeah. We'll do this quick. DC Dog. Ryan, what's your biggest concern for 2026 USC? And Dave, same thing for UCLA. I think the offense is going to be really good. You got Jaden Maiava coming back. So I wouldn't, they got their offensive line back, lose a bunch of receivers and stuff. But just on the defensive side, I like Gary Patterson. I'm pretty impressed just the first couple of days of practice, but you have to be more productive on defense, probably specifically the linebackers, which took a big step back last year.
Interesting. Mine is roughly the same answer. I would say up the middle defense.
Okay.
Defensive tackle. Brought in a lot of new guys, how they all gel and whether they can all step up, because it's a lot of guys who haven't started at this level or started, period. And then linebacker, kind of the same deal. It's a lot of guys who haven't started a ton of games. Even the guy they brought in, the huge impact guy from Oklahoma, he wasn't really a full-time starter for Oklahoma. So I think there's questions about how that'll function as a run defense, because I think if you can't, if you can't easily stop the run up the middle or at least slow it down, a lot of things start to break apart defensively. So that's, I'm sure that's going to be a key priority for them, but that's probably my major concern heading into spring ball.
All right. Is Webfoot the last one?
I believe so. I'll read it.
Okay.
This is Webfoot. Glad to see that the podcast continues after the Bro 247 divorce. Dave, how does it feel to know that UCLA hasn't ever been better than USC in the last 20 years, despite USC still suffering the terrible aftershocks of the cruel and frankly inhumane NCAA sanctions? Yeah, you know, this is a it's an interesting point because this has been obviously the last 25 years, 30 years almost now, have been one of the lowest periods ever for UCLA. And the interesting thing is the last 20 years have been one of the lowest periods ever for USC. And UCLA, it's chicken egg, but like USC, I'm fairly convinced can be good even if UCLA is very good. Like, I think USC can have a good program even when UCLA is up. I think there have been periods where that has been true. I'm not as convinced that UCLA can do great when USC is dominant, when USC is really, really, really good. And so the last 20 years feel like a missed opportunity where USC was really mismanaged for a very long time. You had a series of really questionable and bad hires. And UCLA didn't pounce. They sort of almost did with Jim Mora, and then it kind of dissipated and fell apart. And then they took a great shot at it with hiring Chip Kelly, and it didn't work. And it just, it feels like a bummer of a missed opportunity. And look, I'm not convinced Lincoln Riley's going to win there. I was convinced when he was hired, and the same way I was convinced Chip Kelly was going to be, you know, a godsend at UCLA, and it didn't happen. I don't think Lincoln Riley is going to win big there, but I think, you know, and maybe that means the window is again open a crack here. Bob Chesney could be really good. I think he's going to be very good for UCLA. And maybe Lincoln Riley, with that $90 million buyout or whatever the hell it is, maybe he's stuck there for a couple more years where he's not doing great and he's underperforming. And maybe that window is back open a crack again. But I do think, just a real, you know, kind of sliding doors opportunity here that got missed, where if, you know, just one thing goes differently, if Jim Mora sustains it for even a couple more years, maybe the tide shifts. But yeah, missed window for sure.
Yeah, that's one thing is I've even like when Neuheisel was there and like sanctions were going on, right? They're like, hey, they should be able to recruit really well. Like they should. And it just didn't happen. So I'm not sure. Yeah, like, and it allowed like Oregon and Stanford, like there's some really good, you know, if USC and UCLA were both really good, it would have been harder for Oregon and Stanford to have the kind of runs that they did, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is from Marzipan. Who is more likely to become successful as a DC this season, Gary Patterson at USC or Danton Lynn at Penn State?
I have an answer.
Oh, go ahead.
Danton Lynn. And the reason is I'm trying very hard not to be snarky about USC, but I do think there is something about Lincoln Riley and his offense and his general program ethos that inhibits great defensive performance.
Yeah.
And Gary Patterson, what was he doing before this? Like, when was he last, like, actually? I'm not even being facetious.
It was like 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's been many years, right, since he was coaching?
Well, like four, I think. Yeah.
But, like, he hasn't been in the game. Yeah. He hasn't been in the game.
Yeah, he was, like, an analyst at Texas and one other place, yeah.
So, I don't know if he's, like, an immediate savior. I know he's a great defensive mind. I don't know, and I don't know about Lincoln Riley. So, there's more questions there for me.
Yeah.
Whereas with Danton Lynn, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, he had... I still go back to UCLA where he took the exact same collection of players that were there the previous year and turned it into like a top 20-ish defense in a single season. And then I would say his first year at USC was impressive. Second year, kind of treading water, I would say, more or less. But I think the impact he could make with a Matt Campbell, with the talent that Penn State can bring in, I don't know. That one just more of the boxes feel checked for me than do at USC.
I need to check out the roster a little bit. I agree with you on all those points. I have been impressed with Gary Patterson, and I think he's got at least a strong enough voice where Danton Lynn was only a DC for 1 year. I think you come in with 25 years of head coaching experience and he wants to do a different drill in practice.
Yeah.
Lincoln 100%. Riley's probably going to have to do it. But for Danton Lynn, it seemed like when he had experienced players, like he had a lot of veterans at UCLA. And they did well. And his first year at USC, he had a bunch of veterans like linebackers that did well. And then last year was more younger guys that didn't like, it just didn't seem to work as well. So I don't know. That might be something to do with it too. Like he seemed to do better with veteran players, and maybe coming from the NFL, that might make a little sense. One last one. This is Mike. Are all Big Ten teams planning for spring games? So let's see. USC isn't having a spring game, and Northwestern won't have a spring game because they have the construction with Ryan Field. And then I think Nebraska's back to having a spring game. They didn't have one last year, I believe. But I think those might be the only two that aren't having one. UCLA, do we know if they're having one?
Don't know yet. I mean, it's listed as a spring game, but whether that will actually be a spring game is anyone's guess.
Yeah. So I think Nebraska got away from it last year. I'll have to find out.
I'm sure I think with UCLA, it's still a month away. So I don't think they'll probably announce a spring schedule like 2 or 3 weeks from now would be my guess.
Cool. Let's see. All right. Well, that's all I got.
That was lovely.
That was good. We're not dead.
We're not dead.
We're still going.
We're going strong.
Even the crossing the streams of
we will cross the streams platforms as long as we're allowed.
Hannah Montana and whatever the hell that other show was. It's like Simpsons. Hey, this you want to speak to us? It's when Homer Simpson gets to go on Family Guy. Like right? Like
that's
is
right,
there something
baby.
Like that? Maybe is that better? Yeah, that's what we're doing. So anyway. That's our show. We'll try to keep these going through the off season, but we wanted to do one. You know, Dave had some news. I forget what it was, but you know, whatever.
Yeah,
we wanted to talk about that and talk about all those fun stuff. But we'll keep it going. Please send in questions, comments, concerns, any kind of off season topics. The Twitter ones were great today. That was a lot of fun. We went longer than I thought we would because we had a bunch of topics there. But hope you guys all enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.